Now, you join me at a tremendously exciting moment. I'm trying to make a silk purse out of a sow's ear, so to speak. I've made 10 minutes of today's episode of Into Your Head, and listen back to it, and it's a load of crap. It's absolutely one of the worst shows ever made. Now, normally what I do in a situation like this is record an intro like this, and maybe an outro as well, and then hopefully they turn out better than the bit in between, and then therefore I pad it out with some higher quality material. I don't know if that's going to work today. It remains to be seen. If that's the case, this segment will be the highlight of the show. Now, that's quite a tall order. I'm putting pressure on myself now, metaphorically anyway. I suppose, I'll dig my forefinger into my arm, and now I'm physically putting pressure on myself, so it's a physical manifestation of what I'm doing to myself mentally, just to reinforce the idea. Now that's hurting, so I'm going to stop doing it now. There we go. I've stopped doing it. I've probably permanently damaged my left arm, because that's the arm whose finger I was using to poke into my right arm. But there you go. That's everything you do in this life causes wear and tear on your body. If you don't want to age or have any damage done to your body, you're going to have to just sit there and do nothing for the rest of your life. And if you're going to do that, you might as well be dead. Because if you're going to be dead for the rest of your life, then there's no point being alive at all, because you're dead. At best, that'll cause confusion. Try getting a life insurance policy when you're acting like that. I'll tell you, they'll say, well, then when you finally get around to dying and your family makes a claim on your life insurance policy, they'll say, his death condition was a pre-existing condition. He was dead already, effectively. So we're not paying out on that because he was dead before he took out the life insurance policy. We're not idiots here. We saw the way he just sits there all day doing nothing. Frankly, we were surprised that he managed to order a life insurance policy while he was doing that. Maybe he has some sort of a computer that's voice activated, and he's able to he's a ventriloquist, so he's able to throw his voice at a cat and use the cat to voice activate the computer. So he's still not doing anything. He's just sitting there doing nothing. His lips aren't moving. Maybe his tongue is moving a little, but that's not obvious. It's not obvious to the average person, but I'll tell you, it's obvious to our claims adjuster, and he's not going to get away with it. He's been moving his tongue for the last 50 years while claiming to be effectively dead. And if you look at section 7, subsection 2.1 of the conditions of his life assurance policy, you'll see that he's not allowed to move his tongue clandestinely, or whatever the word is. I don't know. I don't know what the exact wording was in the legal thing. I'm sure it was something like that. Whatever. The net effect is the same. So your payout is refused. Sorry about that. Thanks for being calls may be monitored, not only by the person who's on your phone extension upstairs listening to the call, who I can hear heavy breathing, but it may be monitored by someone at this end as well, and the calls may be recorded. So there you go. Hang up now. Hang up the telephone. I'm finished talking to you now. I'm not going to say goodbye because you don't deserve it. Your late spouse was an idiot who took out a stupid life insurance policy. So just hang up the phone. So that's what would happen if you tried to make a claim on a policy like that. Anyway, on with the show. Join me at a tremendously exciting moment. I'm doing laundry. Now I know what you're thinking there. You're thinking, why doesn't he have some sort of automated machine that does that for him? Washing machine, for example. Well, I do. That's the washing machine you can possibly hear in the background, interfering with the sound quality on today's episode of Into Your Head. There's nothing I can do about that, unfortunately, unless I record this 10 minutes from now when the washing machine is finished, or I put the washing machine on pause, or I put the show on pause. Apart from that, there's nothing, absolutely nothing I can do to remedy the situation whatsoever. I suppose I could go for a piss. It'll be less noisy in there. Hang on a minute, that's what I'll do. I'll go for a piss. Here's, we're in the pissing room now. I'll close the door so we have some privacy from the washing machine. I don't want the washing machine stalking me while I'm doing a urination session. So anyway, it's a urination session of the week. Number whatever it is, I don't know. I don't keep track of the urination sessions. I'd estimate it's around the 40th urination session of the week. Well, not of this week, but this segment is usually called the urination session of the week, so this is the, I'm guessing, the 40th one. But that's, I'm just making that up. I'm not making up the fact that it's the 40th urination session. I'm making up the fact that I guessed it. I didn't guess it. I just made it up. I plucked it from thin air. It wasn't a guess at all. It was just a made-up answer. Not based on any guess or anything else. So that's just to clarify that. I'm just going to sit down for a moment if you don't mind. Now, it's a Saturday morning, so we have a few things to attend to today. There's a cat litter tray that needs to be dealt with. There's not a problem with the litter itself, that's fine. It's what's been buried underneath the litter, and that needs to be disposed of. I'm not saying you have to do it, I have to do it, but I'm just making a mental note to myself in my head and voicing it through my mouth, so that it exits my head and becomes part of the universe. Because there's no point just keeping it in my head. I can't be, there's no point making a list of things and then just doing them in your imagination. Unless they're fantasy things, like winning the lotto. Then you can get some enjoyment out of fantasizing about that. But it's even better if you let it out into the universe and win the lotto. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to win the National Lottery tonight. Well, I'm going to win the grand prize in the National Lottery. I don't want to win the actual organisation, because if I did that, I'd probably be exempt as an employee or owner of the National Lottery. I'd be exempt from winning any of its prizes, and that would be... I wouldn't be interested in that sort of restriction being placed on my winnings. Unless I was... The previous segment was a few minutes long, so obviously a few minutes elapsed during that segment, both during the recording of it and during your listening to it. So whatever length of time that segment lasted, twice that amount of time has elapsed during, well, you know what I mean. Anyway, some time has elapsed since then. I had a battery issue. The battery ran out on my recorder, had to be replaced. And of course, I didn't have a battery available to me in the toilet, so I had to wait. And you had to put everything on hold. But yeah, the advantage of all that happening is that the washing machine has now stopped making noises, so I'm free to walk around the house without being interfered with by electrical appliances, causing sound interruption and pollution to my podcast. So that's excellent. Now, I have a bit of catching up to do. I have the laundry from the previous washing machine session to be sorted and removed from the radiator. There's a sock, for example. I don't know if you can see it there. I'm holding it up in front of my face. There's another sock that doesn't match. But if I don't find a matching sock, I'm going to put these two together anyway. I don't care. They're both the same colour. It's just that they're, one is ribbed and one is slightly longer than the other. But I don't care. Oh, there's the matching one for the ribbed one. So that's fine. And there's two that look good together, but one's a little bit bluer than the other one, which is black. Ah, that'll do fine. I don't mind. Dark socks, as far as I'm compared, as far as I'm concerned, can go together no matter what. I'm not going to build myself up into a frenzy trying to match up socks when you can just throw all the dark ones together and wear them as is, so to speak. So I think we're done here. Now I'm going to walk into the hall. I don't want to wake my wife up, so I'm going to be silent for a moment, if you don't mind. Let's see. That's that done. But something has changed in this room since I left it a moment ago. There's now a cat sitting on the sofa. I'm not sure if there's anything we need to do about that. Probably not. The cat will probably deal with itself if it needs to be dealt with. He seems to be looking around the place. Chili, what are you doing? Chili, answer me immediately. What are you doing? I need to know. Well, I don't need to know, but it would make for an interesting podcast if you spoke to me right now. In fact, I'd probably get lots of publicity from that, but you won't, will you, because you're a cat. So we won't rely on the cat for entertainment. Not that he's not entertaining, it's just that, crap. He'll be entertaining in this, when he feels like being entertaining, or, well, more likely when he feels like doing something that happens to be entertaining to us, but he doesn't care, he's just doing it for himself. For example, he might decide to cough, and that would be tremendously entertaining for us. But he's not going to do it just because he knows that we want him to cough. He'll do it because he wants to cough to remove a tickly sensation from his cat-like throat. Now, I know what you're thinking there. You're thinking, what's a cat-like throat? Is that a throat that's made in the shape of a cat? No, it's not. Obviously, I misspoke. I didn't mean a cat-like throat at all. I just meant his cat's throat. So that's the cat sort of there.
This is a sample of my voice. I will duplicate it and use it to make a musical number which will fill in some time. This is a sample of my voice. I will duplicate it and use it to make a musical number which will fill in some time. This is a sample of my voice. I will duplicate it and use it to make a musical number which will fill in some time. This is a sample of my voice. I will duplicate it, which will fill in some time.
Show is going. I'm not sure what we can do about that. Perhaps I could not put it out today, put it out on another day, and then it won't be today's show, it'll be next Wednesday's show. But that's what I was going to do anyway. So perhaps I'm worrying needlessly. I should probably just drink this coffee and get on with it. piano thing, synthesized piano thing for my iPhone. I'm hoping I can do some sort of a cat song with it. Let's see. Now, unfortunately, there's no speaker, but I'm sure if I hold the headphone up to my microphone, it'll work perfectly well. Let's see if we can increase the volume. Now, that's the sound of a cat running across my iPhone and playing the virtual piano. And it's there, therefore it's a cat tune. So hope you enjoy that. I'm doing it quietly because I don't want to wake anyone up in this household. Although I am the head of the household, I'm not entitled to interfere with people's sleep just so I can make a song about cats. Especially not an instrumental one, which many of those of you who are not into music and are not as highbrow as me will not recognise it as a cat song because you don't understand instrumentals. But I understand that perfectly well. You can't all be as intelligent and sophisticated as me. Why would you want to be? Being intelligent and sophisticated brings it with it a lot of baggage. You spend a lot of time worrying about the political situation in Outer Mongolia and not being able to do anything about it. You see these people on the train every morning. They get on and they have their copy of the Irish Times spread out in front of them, and they're looking very serious as they read the latest political news and try to figure out what they're going to do about it all. And you never see any of them getting anywhere with it, but they're very worried. They have wrinkles on their forehead, and they're worried about those as well. They usually end up dead. So that's let that be a warning to you. Don't read newspapers. Today's show is substandard. I know what you're thinking there. You're thinking that's panic. That's what you think. You're thinking panic. Let's all run. Set off the alarm and run and get the hell out of here. Because it's going to be a substandard episode of Into Your Head. Basically, the world is at an end. The financial stock crash was just the beginning of it, although we didn't know at the time. But that's so there you go. That's anyway. Today's show is going to be bleepy. Now you join me back in the future, in relation to where I was for the last three or four segments anyway. I'm back where I was at the beginning. At the beginning of the show, I was trying to make a silk purse out of a sow's ear, having already recorded some of the other segments and having realised that they were a load of crap. So that's still what I'm trying to do. This is going to be the closing thing. So I just have to basically stretch this out and make it of higher quality than the stuff that's sandwiched in between this and the first segment. Then I think we'll get away with it. Not that it's a crime to put out a bad episode of Into Your Head. It's just that I would prefer not to. This stuff is going out automatically now while I'm at work. A couple of times a week, I have this thing set to release an episode of Into Your Head, assuming I've made one. If I haven't made one, I don't bother doing that. But if I've made an episode of Into Your Head now, it comes out automatically. There's some sort of a timer on a website somewhere that says, oh, it's time for the next episode of Into Your Head. Let's release it. That's what we'll do. Release it like a rabid rabbit that's being released after it's been cured of rabies. This is all, of course, in the future when there's a cure for rabies available. There isn't one available yet, so it would be a bad idea to release anything now other than this show. And that's not to say that this show has rabies or is prone to getting rabies. Rabies is an animal thing. Well, humans can get it as well, but not in Ireland. We've got no rabies in Ireland, thanks to our tightened laws against the moving of animals abroad, although those have been loosened in the last few years, so we're probably going to get rabies now. We'll have rabied babies, and then I don't know. Someone will work. That'll encourage people to work on the cure, I suppose. So at least we'll have a cure for rabies sooner than we otherwise would have. But how many rabid babies will have to die before that happens, I don't know. When I say have to die, I mean they will die. We won't. No one's going to decree that a certain number of them have to die. It's just that they will, and it'll be very unfortunate. No one will be in support of them dying. But you know, babies don't have a sense of conscience. And if you go and tell them, "I don't want you to die. Stop that immediately. Stop dying," they're not going to just obey you. They're too young. That sort of obedience doesn't happen until they get to around age 2.5. According to the child psychiatrists, anyway. But what would a child psychiatrist know? Children can't even read properly. How are they going to learn all about psychiatry and know enough to make a psychiatric judgment like that? I don't think children should be psychiatrists at all. I know the standard thinking on that is that children have a certain innocence and a certain lack of knowledge of the burdens that adults have, and therefore they might make good psychiatrists, but they won't. It's nonsense. It's an interesting theory. Put it in a fiction novel if you want, but don't put it in a non-fiction book about what's going to happen, and don't put it in a history book 100 years from now. If you're writing a history of the next 100 years, don't put it in a history book, unless it's actually happened, in which case I suppose it's not your fault. I can't tell you not to put stuff in a history book if it did happen. You've no control over what happened in the 100 years before you wrote that book. But if you're one of those people who are making that history, stop it, cut it out, do something else instead. In other words, don't let that happen.
Email us at studio@intoyourhead.com. Stalk us forum guestbook, intoyourhead.com.
Online voicemail system,
intoyourhead.com.
Sit, Kofi, sit. Good cat.
intoyourhead.com.